This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Tacoma's with the basketball, counting down to win number 1,500 in the school's history and another regional championship. And the final on this one tonight will be Nokomis 55, Neoga 40, and it's off to the sectional tournament for Nokomis High School on Tuesday night.
And welcome to Sports Saturday. Tim Mize, David Jenkins, along with Terry Tote. You just heard T's call there. Is 1,500 wins in school history.
1,500 wins, and Coach Kimbrough has been around for 787 of them. So,
what did they do before Bro?
Well, they still played pretty good basketball, averaging 15 wins. This is the 100th year of basketball, so they've averaged 15 wins a year. So
that works.
That's.
And I think to the surprise of no one, Nokomis won the regional on their home floor, and now we'll see what happens to them in the sectional. They'll get a rematch with Altamont. Of course, that's who beat Nokomis last year in a regional final. We'll have the broadcast for you 7 o'clock Tuesday night on FM 106, of course, streaming at WSMIRadio.com. But Terry, as you saw that ball game last night, just kind of your overall thoughts on Nokomis' regional championship.
Well, first off, Neoga came out and actually played pretty well, I thought. They, you know, and defensively for three quarters, Neoga was right there with them. And I think they may have run out of gas there in the fourth quarter with, you know, trying to deal with the size of the Sobel boys, Braden and Carter, and you know, just basically running out of gas. But they had four seniors, Neoga did, as Nokomis did, and they were a pretty good basketball team. So
not the first time somebody's run out of gas against Nokomis.
Yeah, not the first time. Now Nokomis goes in and gets Altamont here on Tuesday night at Mowikwa at Central A&M High School, and this is a different Altamont team that you saw last year in doing the regional final. They lost a lot of seniors, and so they've kind of rebuilt, and so we'll see how that game shapes up on Tuesday night with Altamont and Nokomis.
Every year is different, of course, and it really comes down to how are you playing. Last year, Nokomis did not play well. They were lucky to win their regional semifinal game and then ran out of luck in the regional final at Altamont. But this year, this Nokomis team this season, they seem to have been, I don't know what the word would be, not necessarily focused or on a mission per se, but they have taken care of business this year. The games they were supposed to win, they've won. They still have not lost to a 1A school.
No, they haven't. And, you know, you certainly like the draw. We talk about the draw. And not that Altamont's going to be easy or anybody else is going to be easy, but being at home and for the regional was good. Central A&M, the teams that feed into there certainly are teams that Nokomis, you would think, would have a good chance of competing with, if not winning. So we'll see how it turns out starting on Tuesday night with Altamont. But, and Altamont's, you know, coming out of that National Trails Conference, that's a good conference as well. You know, that's a rough and tumble conference. They play good hard-nosed basketball.
So you've talked about it here the last couple of weeks. The deeper you go into the tournament trail, you're going to run into most likely high-pressure defensive clubs. Will Nokomis be able to handle full-court pressure consistently enough here over the next week or so?
At the Class A level, probably. You know, going back to the Litchfield tournament when Taylorville, you know, a 3A school, played Nokomis, and of course Nokomis had some problems there with the pressure there. But certainly at the 1A level, I would think that they would be okay. So.
And to me, the coming week, sectional week, that is when Nokomis's schedule really pays dividends.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, this, and you have to go back practically 4 months to the beginning of the season, but, you know, you hope that what was learned early on in the year has now been put in place. And you know, it comes down to catching a few breaks a lot of times, you know, how tight the officiating is. And the thing of it is, just as a general rule, the deeper you go into postseason, the more they let you play, which is certainly okay for Nokomis. I don't think they have any problems with that. So
they haven't anyway.
They haven't, not in the past anyway. So Altamont and Nokomis Tuesday night 7 from Central A&M High School in Mowikwa.
That's right. We'll have it on FM 106. Of course, that was our first of three regional championship broadcasts last night. Hillsboro and Southwestern both fell, saw their seasons come to a close, and Hillsborough got down 9-0, was never able to recover.
Yeah.
Southwestern fell behind 17-5 after leading 5-3. They got it down to 4 with the ball at one point in the fourth quarter, but ultimately just too much Trenton Westland, too much Nashville.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fairly obvious statement that the two better teams won those ball games last night. Nashville, I was very impressed with them over the course of the week at Staunton, and Trenton Westland, they have a 6'9 kid who doesn't play, but they go 6'6, 6'5, 6'4, 6'3 in their starting lineup. In that first half last night, they came out man-to-man. They switched every screen, and there was never a mismatch.
Wow.
I mean, when you've got across the board that type of size and athleticism with interchangeable parts, can all dribble, can all shoot, that is one heck of a tough club. Westland's problem is going to be lack of depth.
Yeah.
They only have 5 guys.
Yeah. So foul trouble means big trouble.
Big trouble. Yeah. I tell you what, they almost gagged it away last night at the foul line. They started clanking some free throws in the last 2 minutes, and Southwestern kept chipping away, just ran out of time.
You know, and I made the comment a few weeks ago, statistics don't mean a darn thing once you get into a regional final or a sectional final or a state tournament. You know, what have you done for me tonight? What are you going to do for me here with a minute and a half to go in the ball game and a close ball game? So it's all about performance that night. So
Exactly right. And for Hillsborough and Southwestern, both saying goodbye to groups of seniors did a lot for their various programs.
Yes, they did. That Hillsborough program, and of course Southwestern's been good for years, and Hillsborough has been much better here in recent years, and those seniors have done a lot and deserve some kudos.
Drake Payton wound up being one of the more entertaining players to watch in the last number of years across Mid-Illinois.
Yes, he was, even going back to last year when he hit that buzzer beater to knock off Carlisle in the regional when Toppers hosted the regional last year. You know, Drake was a very entertaining player to watch and one of the better guards in the area. So, had some quickness and had some injury problems this year, but, battled back the Toppers were fun to watch.
They were. And we think about this Southwestern group of seniors. Remember, they had all sorts of hype coming in from what they had done at the junior high level. And they never did win a regional. But if you look at what they accomplished, they won a couple county championships. Yeah. They were played for 2 regional titles. And their problem this year ultimately was they just didn't have enough size.
Yeah. Which is unusual for Southwestern, because Southwestern usually has a big kid someplace, you know. And we talk about junior high translating into high school. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, because kids stop growing and just other factors.
To me, though, they lived up to, I think,
They were a good team. Let's just face it. They were good and a good bunch of athletes. And Southwestern had good seasons, so.
Yeah. And they were one of those teams you had to go out and beat them with this group of kids. Very rarely did that group beat themselves.
And we talk every once in a while about how difficult it is to win a regional tournament.
It's hard.
That's why they went to the multi-class system back in the 70s, the 2-class system, and here in the 4-class system. They wanted to give more schools more chances to win a regional because it's tough to win a regional. It's tough to win, 2 games or 3 games in a week. On somebody else's floor most of the time to capture a regional title.
Well, look at Southwestern. The last 2 years, they played for a regional title. They played Nashville last year, played Westland this year.
Yeah.
Hillsborough, I think David said the other day, they've played in a regional title 4 of the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But last year, they had to play Westland.
Westland.
This year, they had to play Nashville. So you're exactly right. Yeah. When you get to a regional final, you are going up against a very quality opponent.
And now the way they do the subsectional seedings, you generally, once you get to the championship night, you generally are going to see a pretty darn good basketball team, if not 2 good basketball teams, because one of those two teams will advance to the sectional, and the way they've got the seeding set up, they always want to make sure they have the 4 best teams in the sectional.
And that's the benefit to the subsectional right there. It had every system has flaws and shortcomings, but that was the point of the subsectional, to make sure that the best teams are playing in the championship games.
And, you do have some travel considerations to deal with, especially in the early games, I think. But as far as getting the better teams to go deeper into the postseason, I think the subsectional system has worked.
And if you win the regional, you'll drive 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
There, it don't matter.
Oh, yeah. Who cares? Win a regional and play in a sectional? Are you kidding me?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's all about playing in March, guys. That's what it's, you know, you want to play in March. You want to play the second weekend of March. That's the big thing about it.
The madness.
Oh, the madness of March. Yes. Yes.
The girls state tournament is underway. They will have their state championship games today. The 1A state final will have Danville Schlarman taking on Stockton. It'll be the first state title for either squad. The 2A state title tonight at 7:15 has Chicago Marshall taking on Chicago Harlan. Marshall looking for their ninth state title, first since 2008. But there was a classic game last night. Marshall and T-Town double overtime. Marshall wins it 46-43. The Shoes actually led that game 15-0.
And there you have two teams who have this wonderful legacy in girls high school basketball. Chicago Marshall, who under Coach Dorothy Gators has she's got more wins than anybody, I think, in the history of basketball in Illinois anyway. And of course, you know, has won numerous state titles. Then you have the Shoes from T-Town, again, numerous titles, always a good team, a double overtime. Boy, that's a great script for the IHSA.
And when you talk, going into that semifinal, two of the most historic girls programs in the state, and they give you a double overtime thriller.
Yeah, what else can you do for me, right?
Exactly. Can we play again tonight?
Yeah. And you know, and how many people said, well, that's a state championship game? Well, no, that's not, because they're going to play it tonight.
We heard that back in 1993.
Yes, we did. 25 years ago we heard that.
How'd that work out?
And then, well, I know how it worked out. There's a nice big trophy sitting in Staunton.
Looks good there, too.
It looks really good in that display right there in the corner. So
we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we hope to catch up with Steve Kimbrough, Joe Vanzo, and Jason Darr when Sports Saturday returns following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Toth.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Cardinal baseball on the radio today, 11:50 this morning, AM 1540, yep. FM 106.9.
And they play the Mets today, Astros tomorrow at 11:45 tomorrow. So we'll have all the spring training games on the weekends, and then the real deal once we get to the first part of April.
That's right, all 162 on AM 1540 and FM.
By the way, it's a good way to deliver your message if you're looking for a way to advertise Cardinal baseball. We have a very, very loyal audience, and it's a good way to deliver your message. So contact the radio station if you're interested.
Absolutely.
Contact me, and we'll send you in the right direction.
You'll get them pointed where they need to go.
Absolutely.
Let's run down some scores from last night in games heard on FM 106. Nokomis beat Neoga 55-40, the 1,500th win in school history for Nokomis. In Staunton last night, Nashville beat Hillsboro 60-51, and in Wood River, Trenton Westland beat Southwestern 45-37. Elsewhere in 1A, Altamont beat St. Elmo Brownstown 58-55. That'll be Nokomis' opponent in the Central A&M Sectional in Moequa Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. We'll have it live on FM 106. At Lincolnwood last night, good ball game, knew it would be. West Central beat North Green 40-37. In Mount Olive, Madison beats Metro East Lutheran 62-55. And in Windsor, Central A&M beat Mulberry Grove 88-66. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of Nokomis, Steve Kimbrough. Good morning, Coach. Coach, good morning.
Hello?
Hey, Steve, can you hear us?
Not very well.
Well, that's not good.
That's not good.
That's not what we're looking for. Hey, okay.
All right, there we go. You had a dirty switch there someplace along the line. Yeah.
Well, Coach, yet another regional title. Kind of sum up last night's game for us, if you could.
It was a tight ball game up to about fourth quarter into that. We had some opportunities. We'd get out 4 or 5 points, and then they'd hit a three or, you know, take advantage of maybe our mistake, and they'd cut it back. And, you know, that probably happened a half a dozen times. And then finally we had it out to 11 once, and they had a little 5-point swing on us and cut it back to 5 late in the third quarter. And we hit our free throws down the stretch and got a couple turnovers. Carter got a big rebound off of a missed free throw and a putback for us in the fourth quarter. And once we got it out to, 10, 12 points, and we feel like we can control the ball well enough and go to the free throw line and make those and put the game away, and that's pretty much the way it went.
Well, last night, as we pointed out during the post-game interview, Coach, Nokomis only had 4 turnovers and no turnovers in the second and fourth quarters. And, you know, when you get get into the postseason, you got to be able to take care of the basketball.
You know, we've been talking about this all year. You know, we're averaging about 11 turnovers a game, and you know, that's just at this point with the guys that we have, that's too many. And you know, and last night, you know, we concentrated a little bit more, focused on what we had to do, and that always helps in that respect. That if you're not giving your opponent that opportunity, you know, to take advantage of your mistakes and put points on the board, then that's got to be a help for you. And on the other hand, I think they only had like 7 or 8 turnovers. So then, like, you know, they're a good ball club too, and they didn't give us a lot of opportunities, but we did take advantage of some steals with some easy points for us.
Steve, as you look ahead now to Tuesday night, you get Altamont. You saw them last year in the regional final, but they are a different team this year than they were last.
Well, yeah, and we know what everybody tells us. They got two main players that you got to be aware of. They're averaging, you know, high teens to 20 points a game. And, you know, you still got to beat the whole team. And at this time of the year, that everybody's got 25, 30 ball games under their belt, and, you know, they just won their regional, so they're feeling good. But we will bring up the fact that, you know, they stuck us last year at third place and knocked us out of the tournament, and we'll use that for maybe a little bit of a revenge factor.
No, you use that for a lot of revenge factor. That's what you're going to do, absolutely.
And, Steve, I thought, you know this better than most, that you got to be playing your best basketball of the season at the right time. And I thought last year maybe you weren't playing your best ball in the regional. Do you feel like you're peaking at the right time this season?
We played with more intensity last night. We were more focused, and that's what we've got to do. And that's been one of the things of our inconsistency is not going out there and playing with the, you know, playing each possession with the same intensity, the same attitude, like the game depend on it. And last night, I think both teams started out a little nervous, you know, missed some shots that probably they normally make. And, you know, once we kind of broke the ice, we relaxed a little. And then once they got their first score, they relaxed. And then it became a ball game about halfway through, you know, the first quarter.
Yoga was pretty good defensively, I thought, for three quarters. And then they kind of wore down in that fourth quarter.
Well, our size, you know, they give them credit. They did what they had to do. They played very physical on our inside guys and doubled and tripled down on them when they got the basketball. And that's what probably opened up Camden, who had a big night for us. And we found out, you know, through our offense that, you know, we got him down in on the low post, and the guy that was guarding him, and he was able to take advantage of his height. And then we run a couple set plays off of that to get him the ball and take advantage of that. So, you know, we adjusted finally to, you know, what they were doing. And Hendricks, you know, early in the game, you know, he hit his shots and helped us out, you know, and all year long, Hendricks has been a real good mid-range shooter, 12 to 15 foot, which is, you know, kind of dying hard anymore with the three-point line. A lot of you're going to shoot behind it or you're in the lane. And, you know, he's probably shooting about, you know, 54-55% from the mid-range for us.
Steve, congratulations on the regional championship last night, and best of luck on Tuesday, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Steve Kimbrough, the head coach of Nokomis. They will take on Altamont Tuesday night. We'll have it live at around 6:50 with the 7 o'clock tip on FM 106, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. And, Terry, I love the fact that Coach Kimbrough says, yeah, we're going to remind them that they ended our season last year. Sometimes Coach will try to dance around that and say, well, we know it's a different year. We don't want to talk about it. No. We're going to talk about it. They beat you last year. Don't let it happen again.
You know, Nokomis plays well when they have a chip on their shoulder. And that's
and Steve's pretty good at placing it there.
Oh, he does. He's done this a few times, and he knows how to use that as a motivating factor. So,
and that the motivation factor is so key. It sounds so easy to do. Well, just get your team motivated to play. Well, okay.
Yeah.
If it was that easy to do, everyone would do it.
Yeah.
But Kimbrough is consistently able to have his kids ready for the big game, not just ready for a game in the middle of December, but he knows how to get his team ready for big games in late February and early March.
And if you watch Nokomis boys basketball, you know, they'll start out and they play those bigger schools early on. You know, the record's not going to be outstanding. And really, once you get to about the Litchfield tournament, you can really start to see what Nokomis has got. And that was the case this year. They had a good Litchfield tournament, I thought. And, you know, they continue to progress. They find out early on where they're weak. And Coach Kimbrough, you know, works on it. And like you said, you want to play your best basketball heading into the postseason. And, Nokomis played well against a very good team last night, so.
And I would imagine when Altamont sees Carter Sobel this year, like, oh my gosh, he's bigger and better than he was last year as a freshman.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, even though Nioga did a great job against both the Sobel boys last night, that they were all, they were involved in the offense, so good passing, some terrific passing. Ransdell was able to make some shots down low, really, you know, it was a little bit different look for Nokomis.
And Coach Kimbrough mentioned it about he thought maybe they warmed down a little bit. And I would think that's been pretty consistent for Nokomis this year with that size and athleticism on the inside. By the time you get to the fourth quarter against these guys, well, you're beat.
You know, and Coach Kimbrough does have a couple of guys that he can bring off the bench that, you know, can help with fresh legs and just a different look. And,
well, Ben Marley's like the energized bunny.
Ben Marley, he's, that guy comes in and then the energy level increases tenfold almost. It just, you know, the guy's, he's all over the place. So good guy to bring off the bench sometimes. Sometimes you just need that extra energy. You just need it. And, Ben can deliver, so.
Especially in big games in the postseason, sometimes you're gonna need that spark and you might need it quickly. You might need it sooner than you needed in regular season.
Plus I've seen games where he's come in when there's been foul trouble. And he's, you know, done a yeoman's job to keep Nokomis in the ballgame.
And that will probably be a key for Nokomis on Tuesday is keeping the Sobels on the floor and out of foul trouble.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's always gonna be big. But again, the deeper you go, a lot of times they let them play more, so.
Southwestern ran into a little bit of foul trouble last night. Justin Bailey picked up three in the first half, and joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Pius Allbirds, Jason Darr. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing all right. That was a tough one for you guys last night, and boy, when it got down to about the final 2 minutes, I thought, oh, Southwestern's in trouble. Then Westland started missing free throws.
Yeah, well, you know, we always talk about it, free throws and layups.
Mm-hmm.
It usually comes down to that in basketball games, and especially you get down to the last few minutes there, and, you know, the teams are going to foul you. And if you can't make the free throws, it's going to tighten it up a little bit, and that's kind of what happened last night.
Listen, I was very impressed with Westland last night, you know, basically 6'5 to 6'4 across the board. And in that first half when they were playing, man, they were switching all those screens, but there was never a mismatch. That was one heck of a club last night.
Yeah, that's what was so tough about it. You know, they can, when you're kind of the same size like that, you can switch everything. I mean, on the other end of that, we can do that a little bit too, but we don't have the height part of it. We're kind of a shorter team across the board, but you know, the thing you have to do is try to get inside of them, and I felt like I did it a few times on the switch and came back to the rim, but the problem was we had trouble scoring even when we got it to the rim.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just kind of struggled, and obviously the height advantage was an issue, and we just couldn't get much going from the perimeter. So our kids played hard, but I was proud of their effort and the things that they did last night. Coming back, they didn't quit. We made a couple runs, got it within like four, I think there was about a minute left, and we had a chance. We had a big turnover there that kind of hurt us, but you know, that's the way it happens when you have really big, long, athletic kids on the court. It's tough.
Yeah, they were a tough opponent. You guys, I think you actually ended up out rebounding them last night, which had to make you happy.
Did we end up? Yeah,
I really didn't
look at that, to be honest. At the end, we did it halftime, and we were down at halftime, and that was a part of our message, kind of going in at half that we had to get on the board. I tell you what, we out-rebounded a lot of teams this year, and it's one of the reasons why we were able to win 21 games, because, you know, our kids kind of got it in their head that, you know, we have to do that. I mean, if we don't, we're going to struggle, and teams are going to get set shots. You know, teams are just too good. I mean, especially a team like that, you give them two shots, and it's probably going to go in.
Jason, I want to miss watching Ben Lois play. Undersized post guy, but maybe no more fitting opponent for his final high school game than the Westland Warriors last night, where they were bigger and maybe stronger than him on the inside, but he never backed down, not once.
No, that kid never backs down. No, he's kind of he's a warrior in the paint. That's for sure. Great footwork, great technique. He's a hard-nosed kid that will never quit. At any sport. I mean, you'll probably see him on a pitching mound here before too long this year. And, he's kind of the same way up there. So, you know, he's just a great kid, an athletic kid, comes from a great family, and, you know, he's kind of what you want your kids to be. You know, he's that type of player and athlete.
Jason, as you look back over the year, it really was a terrific season for the Birds.
Oh, yeah. We had a great year. I mean, you know, we didn't win a tournament, but I told our guys last night, you know, we put ourselves in situations to make our team better. And, you know, we were beat out the Metro League tournament by Marquette, who obviously hasn't been beaten yet. You know, we went up to Bloomington. We played Bloomington Central Catholic in the first round of that tournament, the State Farm Classic, and got kind of put into the consolation bracket. So, I mean, you know, we played a tough game in the county tournament at North Mac. I mean, that was probably a little more physical than the game last night, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Probably the most physical game we had to play all year. And, you know, our kids just really did a great job and executed well all year. And, you know, you throw a game plan at them. These kids are very, very intelligent, very smart, and they're able to execute it. And so we did that quite a bit. Sometimes we may not have did the right thing, but they sure went hard at it and got after it. And, 21 wins is a pretty good season with the schedule that we had.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was not on the light end, that's for sure.
No.
You toughened it up knowing that you had a talented senior-laden club coming back. And with that in mind, Jason, you now say goodbye to a great group of seniors.
Yeah, we do. You know, that's the hardest thing. I told these kids, you know, we always talk about the train coming into the station. And, you know, you get down to those last five or six games, and it's like, well, it's getting close, mm-hmm. You know. You're always going to remember these last games, so just leave it all out there on the court, and you'll always have a good memory, no matter what happens. And, you know, one of the toughest things about coaching is letting those kids go. It's hard. But, you know, they are. They're just an outstanding group of kids and students and community members, and, you know, we're lucky to have them here in our district. And, you know, I think I said it last night that, you know, they're great role models for kids that sit in the stands and watch the game of basketball. They really are.
And I bet Coach Hanslow is ready to get his hands on him now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, that's for sure. It's baseball season now at Southwestern.
Yeah.
Jason Darr, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Congratulations on a fine season.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate everything you guys do. You guys work hard at this, too. And, you know, our it's really good to hear you guys on the radio and the things that you do and Twitter and all the social media, too. So thank you guys for everything that you do.
Oh, thank you very much,
Coach. Thank you, Coach. Yeah.
Enjoy the offseason.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Jason Darr, the head coach of the Southwestern Pius Allbirds. He talks about his players being a class act.
Yeah.
He's a class act.
Yes, he is. He's a good coach. And, yes, and he's, you know, Southwestern, again, and we talk about it with the girls and about having to, you know, rip something out of the hands of Southwestern. It's boys or girls.
It was an interesting game last night from the standpoint of, with about 3 minutes to go, it looked like, okay, they're toast here, you know, just not going to have it tonight. And then all of a sudden, Weston started missing free throws, and it gets down to about a minute. It's like, holy crap, they might actually win this thing. just couldn't make enough shots down the stretch. Yeah. But like I told you earlier, Westland gets all the credit there because their defense was just stifling all night long. An impressive, impressive squad.
Well, with the size they had, they took advantage of it. So
you don't see many schools around here that have that consistent size where 6'3" is the smallest player on the floor. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they can switch every screen.
Yeah.
And you just can't get a good shot when you can switch every screen and not have a mismatch.
No. And usually somebody gets lost in the screen off. So, you know,
You know, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Yeah. I love the Woodover Gym. That's one of the great gymnasiums around. You know, it was built in the early 50s, so it has that old style feel to it. That was just a fun place to watch a ball game.
Yeah. So, well, good.
And that great sectional atmosphere whenever they have a sectional.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, a couple years ago, they had a sectional down there. It was Pinckneyville, and I think Waterloo Jabot in the final. And that, you couldn't find a seat in the place.
Oh, probably not. Jam-packed. If you weren't there by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you probably didn't get in.
Out of luck.
Yeah. So, yeah. We like those gyms with character, you know?
Love the character
gyms.
Oh,
yeah. We've got a bunch of them around here. So.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and week.
We've got Cardinal baseball coming up today on AM 1540 and FM 106.9.
Any cold frosty ones?
Need a cold frosty. Down there in Florida, I guess it's pretty warm, huh?
I think so.
Yeah.
Probably windy and rainy, though, yeah. Much like here.
Yeah, that's a distinct possibility down there, yeah.
That's why it seems like Arizona's turned into a little bit better for spring training. You know it's not raining there.
It doesn't rain there, no, that's for sure. It does get a little warm.
It does.
Yeah. So. And the wind's not quite as bad as they deal with in Florida. So. But Cardinals and Mets today, 11:50 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9.
That's right. Then we'll have the Fighting Illini on the radio tomorrow for their regular season finale. They will be at Rutgers live at 1 o'clock on 105.3 The Ox. And then the Big Ten Conference Tournament is next week. Now, note, that is a week earlier than normal because they wanted to play it in New York City at Madison Square Garden, and to do that, they had to move it up a week. So they'll be playing their conference tournament the same week as the small conferences are.
Yes, yes. So, because it had to be at Madison Square Garden.
Has to be at the Garden. Yes.
Nothing says Big Ten basketball like New York City.
So true. So true. And Illinois's got to be playing on that first day.
Why, of course, it's such a chic place to go.
That's right.
Well, it's like Creighton's in the Big East.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, of course they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing is more synonymous with the Big Ten than New York City.
That's right.
Rutgers and Maryland. There you go.
Illinois had a rough week. They played second-ranked Michigan State, ninth-ranked Purdue. Actually hung with Purdue.
The Purdue game was a pretty good game for them, actually.
And for Illinois, I mean, it's really not much has changed. It's kind of the same old, same old. You can see the potential there. It's right there, right beneath the surface. But this year, they're just – it's not their year.
No. And you know, they have a lot of youngsters, and they do a lot of stuff that freshmen do. And that takes you out of ball games. And they'll go for stretches of you know, 8 to 12 minutes not scoring. And, you know, if you have some senior-laden seniors on your team, you know, these are the guys that get the ball to the hole and maybe get to the free throw line, at least get some points on the board, and Illinois just doesn't do that. So
David has Illinois making a deep run in the conference tournament.
I do. Semifinals.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
They're going to win, one, two, three games, I think it would take to
We got a sandwich on the line.
We
I'm
do.
I'm looking forward to my sandwich. It's going to be a delicious sandwich.
They're going to play against whoever, if provided they are the 12th or 13th.
You've got a little caveat in there.
What is it? Yeah, 12th or 13th seed in the tournament.
And then they might be. I mean, they might avoid that last spot.
If they can not be the 14th seed or the 11th seed even, I think they'll go to the semifinals. I like their draw better.
It's been a while ago, but back in the day when they had Lucas Johnson, you remember Lucas Johnson from Maine West?
Yeah.
And I don't know if Corey Bradford would have been on that team, but they made an improbable run all the way to the conference tournament final when they were not expected to do anything. So, I mean, there's been several years where they've been down and out and made a run in the conference tournament. Yeah. It has happened.
It was 3 years after the runner-up team. They were, I think, 17-15 and not going to the NCAA tournament. And one of the bottom seeds in the conference tournament, they made it to the championship final. Sean Pruitt was the most notable player on that Illini team. Ended up losing to either Wisconsin or Michigan State, but they weren't supposed to do anything in conference tournament. They ended up in the conference tournament championship.
So there you go.
As far as I'm concerned with the conference tournament, you ought to just lop off of the bottom four teams.
That's what the old Big East used to do.
Yeah, you know, and just, you know, put your eight teams in and let them go. To me, it's...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, I wish that the automatic berth to the NCAA tournament went to the regular season conference.
There you go. Yeah, that to me seems to be silly. That you work all season long to win the conference and you don't get rewarded for it.
And it doesn't so much matter for the big power schools because they're getting in, but for the mid majors, you know, like you could win, like Murray State, like they've had that 1 year where they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
If they hadn't won the conference tournament, they might not have gotten in.
Yeah.
Because they played in the Ohio Valley, even though they had been ranked nationally. Most of the year, that's who I always feel bad for, is the mid-major teams who maybe run their regular conference season schedule, don't lose a game, and then lose a heartbreaker in the tournament championship final, and they're out.
Well, why play regular season if only the conference tournament's going to count? I mean, make it worth something. So, I don't know.
Would stand to reason.
Yeah.
That's how John Gross got a good head coaching job. was a couple of conference tournament runs. Because he had not dominated his conference as head coach of Ohio and made some conference tournament runs and got promoted to Illinois head coach.
Say what you want to say about John Gross. He was never 3-14 in the Big Ten.
He wasn't. No. He wasn't.
No. He had different type of teams.
Yeah.
Had different type of teams. But still.
This is true.
People were all over John Gross in a hurry. Yeah. He never went 3-14 in the Big Ten.
This is true.
Underwood, though. Boy,
you can, it's there. You can see
you,
it.
And when he talks, you know, when you hear him talk about the team, you know he's obviously disappointed at the record, but I don't think he's completely disappointed on the fact that the team has improved as the season has gone along, and he knows that the best is yet to come.
There's a process in play here. They're definitely building towards something. You can see it coming.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I truly do believe they're going to make a run, some kind of a run in the conference tournament. I don't think they're going to win the conference tournament by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they're going to basically reset themselves when the conference tournament starts.
They very well might. They very well might. But I think this year is going to be a good motivation for them in the offseason moving in to next season. Yeah. You got all sorts of talent coming back. You got a good recruiting class coming in. So next year should be much improved.
Should be dramatically improved, and then 2 years down the line should be really...
By the time Mark Smith and this freshman class are juniors. I expect the Illini to be back to nationally ranked.
Yes.
That's what I personally expect.
I agree.
Anything short of that, to me, is a disappointment.
Yes, yes. I agree. I think that, and I think that's the direction they're heading. So.
And you never know how one or two games can shape a season, because it can't have that type of effect. Remember how their Big Ten conference started? Lost in overtime at Northwestern, lost overtime against Maryland, where all they had to do was inbound
the ball. Yeah.
So those two losses right there, all of a sudden, you're 0-2 in league play. Remember, they had that little break then because they started the conference season early. But the writing was on the wall maybe early in conference play, where it's not going to be there yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then they lost at Nebraska on, was it a buzzer beater?
Yeah, that was a heartbreak. Yeah. That was much later in the year, but that was, to me, that
was still early in conference.
That was the game that crushed them, and I told you after it happened, that's going to be the straw that breaks their back.
Yeah.
You can only absorb so much, and they had absorbed a lot and taken it up to that point, but when you get a 4-point play and go up too late, you think, hey, we're going to win this puppy. And then a desperation three goes in, that's crushing. Yeah. That's crushing.
Yeah.
That's basketball.
Yes, it is.
They need some
you got to play the full 40, and you know you can't let down. So
they need some post players for next year too, because that's struggling them in conference play. Playing that Big Ten schedule with all guards has been a challenge.
They haven't had, in my opinion, a good post player since James Augustine.
Yeah.
Not even Myers Leonard.
No.
Wasn't there long enough.
Yeah. Yeah. This is true.
But he was a good one.
Yeah.
He was a good one. But James Augustine, I love that dude.
Oh, that guy.
He
was
so underrated.
Oh, blue collar all the way.
All the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a hard worker.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106. And we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
You know, maybe part of the Illini's problem is they're not paying their players.
Right.
Apparently.
Obviously.
My gosh.
There's been a rash of a few payments made known here in recent days.
Goodness, yes. Yeah. All the major blue blood programs have been implicated. Now, most of them, from what I've gathered, it's not the school or the coaches. It's an agent who was paying players and their family members, presumably, to have them sign with them. When they went pro.
Lots of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. You hear a lot of $10,000. Miles Bridges of Michigan State, Wendell Carter of Duke, $10,000 is the number being thrown around there. Then you have Sean Miller from Arizona. We're going to put him into the Rick Pitino Louisville class as he has been snared up in an FBI wiretap where he is talking, having a conversation about paying a kid $100,000 to play. And oh, by the way, that kid is at Arizona this year.
He's a one and done, too.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
That's a $100,000 one-year deal.
Yeah.
The question is, did he get the $100K?
Yeah.
that's crazy.
Somebody did.
That's crazy.
That is.
And this
again, why don't they just make it a minor league?
There you go. This leads into the bigger question of millions and millions, bordering on billions of dollars, yeah, are made in college athletics. It's a big money business. Yeah. The coaches are multimillionaires. Yeah. The presidents of the universities are multimillionaires. The head of the NCAA, most likely a multimillionaire. But yet, the players who produce all this money can't get paid while in college. It's never made any sense to me. It really has not. And when you hear about these stories coming out now, and I'm about to split hairs here.
Okay.
To me, a $10,000 payment, I don't find that to be that big of a deal. Personally, when it's coming from an agent. If it's coming from the school or the coach, it's totally different.
Right.
But if a sports agent is offering a kid he knows that's going to be in the NBA in a year, mm-hmm, $10,000 to get him through, I don't have a problem with that. Because that to me, you know, you're talking about books, room and board, food, all these things.
That barely covers it.
They get full ride scholarships. I understand that. My point has always been, the person who gets the full academic ride can get an off-campus job to support themselves while they're in college, which they do. Athletes don't have that chance because the basketball is their, that is their job.
That is full-time.
That is their job. Yeah. So, yeah, they've got the scholarship, but yet they cannot have any spending money because they don't have any time to go get an off-campus job. So that's where, to me, $10,000 is, yeah, that's a lot of money. Yeah. I'm not considering to say it's not a lot of money. But if you just start factoring things in, it's not that much. $100K, though, that's egregious.
But you know, that's just a symptom of the NCAA.
The hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy that's involved, where, you know, you have, the kids are denied food, but everything else is taken care of, and you know,
Rick Majerus once got in trouble for buying his kids cheeseburgers or pizzas because they couldn't afford to eat.
Right, right. And, you know, let's just be honest. This is a minor league system for the NBA. Yes. You know, the blue blood programs anyway. Let's pay these kids. Let's use it as a minor league system. And
for now.
Yeah.
Might not be long. There's talk of of getting rid of the one and done rule. And having basically an NBA academy or developmental league just to start paying kids right out of high school.
That's probably as good an idea as anything. I mean, Major League Baseball does that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems to work there. So why go through the facade of sending this kid to school for 1 year and then he's going to end up in the NBA? If there's a developmental league, gosh, that makes a heck of a lot more sense than going through what the, you know, the NCAA.
And a lot of times it's not even a full year. You just got to stay eligible the first semester.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
then
I mean,
that it don't matter. The system the NCAA has set up has allowed all this to transpire. And this was happening before the one and done rule.
Sure.
Don't kid yourself. Big time college programs, whether it's football or basketball, have been paying players one way or another for a long, long time. Yeah. This isn't a new problem.
Yeah. No, this is not a new problem. It's going to continue to happen. And so let's just, you know, call it what it is and you know, have a developmental league.
Yeah.
So.
It'd be the $20 handshake back in the day from the booster.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Now it's a $100 handshake. It was a $10,000 handshake.
Now it's a
cost of living has gone up.
Now it's a Visa card.
There you go.
It's just a credit card in the hand.
Here, can you
need
a couple of pairs of pants? You know, a shirt too? Yeah, there you go. How about some food?
No, can't food, no.
Yeah.
We'll shove the line there.
Yeah, that's
right. Shove the line there. Can't have it.
We're going to starve them to death. That's right.
So you got Louisville got stripped of their national title
in
2013 because of the sex party, which that's outrageous. I mean, come on. Come on. You also had Rick Pitino caught offering $100,000 for a player. That's right. You know, all these things are going to get lumped in together. Mm-hmm. The story that broke yesterday with the FBI and the paying of the players by the agent, that to me is a separate story entirely from the mess that went on at Louisville. When you're talking about sex parties with strippers for recruits, that's outrageous.
If that's the case, how can Pitino even be in the business?
Well, he's not going to be.
You know, come on.
He's finished.
Yeah, he's got to be toast.
Yeah, he's toast. He knows he's toast. So. He's out there trying to say now that he was wrongfully fired. No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Either you knew, which is terrible.
Or you should have known.
The fact he's saying he didn't know, that's worse.
Yeah, that's worse.
That's worse. Because that means that you had your head so far in the sand that you didn't know what was going on and that your assistants were actively keeping something from you. That's worse.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Move along.
Move along. Here's a shiny object over here. Look to the left. Look to the left as the strippers sneak into the right.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how does Sean...
It's a really sad commentary.
It really is
on the NCAA and how...
Especially with the tournament coming up.
Yes.
Everybody's going to fill out their brackets. Yeah. I mean, millions of dollars of work productivity will be lost when everyone's watching the games on Thursday and Friday at work. But yet the kids can't get paid.
Yeah.
Kids can't get paid.
Something terribly wrong about that whole situation. Right. And I know people who complain that professional athletes make too much money. And I'm just going to say this, that professional athletes are entertainers like movie stars and TV stars who get paid very, very well. In fact, professional athletes probably end up being seen by more people than movie or TV actors. And if it's an entertainment value that you're basing the salaries are on, they're probably worth every penny.
Yeah. Okay. Every single person listening right now, we would all make more money at our job if people paid $20 to park their car to watch us work.
Yeah.
If they paid $10 for a beer to watch us work.
Yeah.
Paid $8 for a hot dog to watch us work. We'd all make more money if those things were true.
They're
but they don't.
They're paid what the market dictates.
There you go.
It's not that they're magically worth or earning this much money just because.
It's all entertainment.
Right. It's all entertainment.
Professional sports is entertainment.
Yeah.
How many people can you get into the stands, how many people can you get watching on TV, and how much money can you afford to spend to get the actor, the player, to be on your team? It's right out of Entertainment Tonight. I mean, my gosh, let's be honest about it.
And heck, we're sitting here, we're talking about, college players and this and that. Think about it. It goes down to the high school level.
Oh, yeah.
A number of years ago, the Hales Franciscan coach talked about the great recruiting year that he had. Title vacated.
Yes.
It happens across the board.
Yeah. Sad. And it tarnishes such a great thing like the IHSA state tournament, like the NCAA national championship. It just tarnishes that, and
like when you go to and
it gets you shaking your head and scratching your head, and you're going, what would make these people do this?
Money and winning. Now when you go to the experience at the state tournament, there you go. You look up, they got the list of all the champions. What was it 2005?
Yeah.
Blank.
Gone. Yeah.
Vacated.
Yeah.
Imagine it's looking like that for the NCAA as well. You look. Since 2000, there's probably a bunch of them that are just, or even since the 90s, they're just
actually the
blank.
Louisville is the first team that's ever had to vacate a championship.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Remember, the Fab Five didn't win the title.
That's right.
Chris Webber thought he had that extra timeout.
Oops.
Although, have you ever seen the video of that? It's not poor Chris Webber. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
There was literally an assistant coach on the bench telling him to call timeout.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one remembers that though.
Yeah.
Blame the 18-year-old kid.
That's right.
Well, did Steve
always
Fisher,
blame the kid?
Always.
Did Steve Fisher tell them they didn't have any timeouts? Did he remind them they didn't have any time, or did his players remind them they didn't have any timeouts?
I don't remember that detail, but there's a still photograph of the Michigan assistant coach calling for a timeout when Weber is right in front of him.
See, that's one of the rules I'd like to see changed. I think only players should be allowed to call timeout. Coaches should not be allowed to call timeout. Should be players only.
It was like that at some level, wasn't
it? It was at one time, yeah. But I just think, players ought to be involved enough in the game to realize what's going on, and they should be the ones to call timeout. That's just my personal opinion, and I still think they ought to have a little continuation in high school basketball.
A little continuation, not NBA level.
No, not NBA level, but just a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
But then that becomes a slippery slope. Too.
Well, then, how much,
Every ref will call it a little bit different.
Yeah.
But in theory, though, I like where you're going.
So, anyway. Yeah.
Cardinal baseball?
Of course, when I umpired, I had a strike zone and you could drive a Mack
truck
through.
Oh, Mack truck strike zone, absolutely.
So, it was definitely not according to the rule book. So.
We're up here to swing. Up here to swing.
That's right.
Cardinal baseball today, 11:50 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. The 1A and 2A girls state tournament will conclude today. The third place 1A game will tip at 11 with Ocala Valley and Lebanon. Your 1A state title today, Schlarman takes on Stockton. Then in 2A tonight, your third place game at 5:30, Tautopolis takes on Eureka, and the 2A girls state basketball championship, Chicago Marshall against Chicago Harlan. Good luck to Nokomis on Tuesday. They will take on Altamont in the Central A&M 1A sectional. We'll have it live 7 o'clock, 6:50 pregame on FM 106, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. Tito, take us home.
That's going to do it. Have a great sporting weekend. You're listening to WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. Don't forget the Redbirds on AM 1540 and FM 106.9, beginning at 11:50 this morning.